Okay, now if you don't care, just state your name.
Well, my name is Helen Elizabeth Stewart Earp.
That's a long name.
Including both unmarried and married.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And Miss Earp, where'd you grow up? Tell me a little bit about yourself.
I grew up in a little county seat town where we had a big courthouse with pillars, like here, in Illinois, located right on the banks of the Mississippi River, by the name of Oquaka. And that's an Indian word meaning yellow banks, because right at in that particular area along the Mississippi River, the river banks are sort of a yellow sandy soil. So we had a regular beach out north of town, like you would find on along an ocean, you know, because of the banks. And the Black Hawk was one of the big chief Indians that sort of, I don't know whether you'd say reigned or ruled over that area of Illinois in olden days. Mm-hmm. And he named Oquaka for the yellow banks. That was their Indian word for it.
So how long did you live in that, around there?
Oh, I lived there until after I was out of high school. And then I went to college. When from then on, I wasn't back there.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you go to college at?
At Western Illinois State Teachers College. And back in those days, you could graduate from what they call a two-year certificate, and you could teach any or supervise any grade school. To do high school work, you had to take the four-year course. Mm-hmm. So, I took 2 years, and then I went to, I got a job in the northern section of Illinois teaching. And I kept that job for 2 years, and then I got married. That's it.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, we continued. Mr. Earp also was from Western Illinois, a county or two south, and he went to what was called Carthage College, Illinois, and he worked his way all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had to teach and then go and then teach some more and then go, you know.
Yeah.
And so we were in, and then he got jobs in Western Illinois, and he became a principal. And he was good at that because he got along so well, especially with high school boys.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did that for a long time.
So now let's talk about how in the world did you end up in Hindman, Kentucky?
Yeah,
I guess that's a story, isn't it?
Yeah, and so many people have asked that. There seemed to be no relation. Well, my husband developed a heart condition, and he had to... the doctor told him he must get out of that part of Illinois in the winter because it was always too cold. And he said that was a strain on a person's heart to carry a heavy old coat and wear boots, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said he'd be much better if you get out in the winter. So we got us a little travel trailer. In those days, they weren't mobile homes, you know. They were just a little... you could put them on the back of a Ford, pull them easily. And ours had two rooms with a bedroom and a little kitchenette, sort of, with a davenport. Mm-hmm. Made you think you had a living room. And we went to Florida for the winter. Well, one winter, we always came back to our town in Illinois. And... we visited with some old friends of ours that we'd had for years. And while we were there, Mr. McLean, you heard him.
Yeah, he was the director here.
He was the director here.
Mm-hmm.
He was traveling and visiting, and this lady that we, our good friend there, was his aunt. And so he stopped for a few days with her. And while he was there, both of them had been schoolmen, you know, so they got together and they got to talking, and Mr. McLean says, "Why don't you come down and visit us?" He says, "It's in the mountains." Well, of course, we had avoided, with our travel trailer, always going around the mountains to get down to Florida. We didn't come in here through here. He says, I'll tell you how to come, and you come down and pay us a visit. So that was what we did. He had us go across Illinois into Ohio, and down that important road that goes from Ohio to Florida. I don't know the number of it now. It was one of the main highways.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, we just gradually came up into the mountains without realizing it, you know.
Yeah.
And when we got here, we had to drive our car through Troublesome Creek. And we didn't pull our trailer through the water there. What we did was go down to the second opening where you can get across the creek without going through it.
Mm-hmm.
And stayed for a few days, and we got to liking it better and better and better. And we found the people very interesting and very friendly, and the whole business down here we liked. Well, after a while, we went on to Florida to go through that. We hadn't planned to spend the whole winter here.
Mm-hmm.
But after the winter was over, we came back through again, and we made the decision to come and stay.
Hmm.
And so then we moved in the next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we were invited down by the director. We had never heard of it, you know. And now, see, Mr. Earp was here for at least 10 years before mm-hmm. he passed on, and then he did part of the bookkeeping, and when he passed away, the director said, now we don't want you to leave.
Mm-hmm.
We'll teach you the bookkeeping. And math happened to be one of my easy things, so that was not hard. Especially bookkeeping isn't too bad. I wouldn't want to go into some of the advanced courses, but that was easy. So then I did, and stayed.
Yeah, that's right. You're still here.
Till 12 years ago, mm-hmm. and I'm still coming. I can't break away.
So when you and your husband first got here, what kind of work did he do, or what kind of work did both of y'all do when you got here?
When we first came, his assistant director, Mr. McLean's assistant, was a man that was really hunting for other jobs, and he was leaving, really,
mm-hmm.
and it happened that Paul had been a high school director, so he knew how to discipline children.
Huh.
And so Mr. McLean didn't take any time at all that he hired him. And you see, a lot of the workers that came in the beginning, they got their board in the room
mm-hmm.
and just a small stipend.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we needed, you know, at that time. And so he helped mostly in the managing of the children and did the bookkeeping.
So he did both jobs at that time?
He did both the jobs to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't have one, but happened right at that time, they had what they call a Christian education director.
Well...
That sounds kind of high-flown, but what it was, she was a lady that lived here, and she took care of the children on Saturdays and Sundays, because it came in those days. They didn't have regular busing. They came in the 1st of September, and they stayed until Thanksgiving or even till Christmas. And we had to have a program that took care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave the boys work. The boys did all the yard work and the weeding. And they did the girls did the dishes and the cleaning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then besides their work program, they had to learn something. So the boys had a little cabin down here where they taught woodworking.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls learned the weaving so that they were learning as well as working, and it helped everybody. So that was a program when we first came. And they asked me if I just wouldn't take care of that. What it was mostly was Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
When I don't think I remember doing anything much with them on Saturdays. But when we planned a picnic up the hill or did anything, it was up to me to go with them. And I had always had Christian Endeavor on Sunday nights for them. They could go to any church they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But as a group, we had that here regularly on Sunday night. That's how I got that title.
Yeah, so what did y'all do on the Sunday nights? What were things you all did together that you organized?
Well, I don't think that I tipped them off of the campus. That, of course, Mr. McLean did. He was the one he taught them music, and he had a group always that learned the folk dancing, mm-hmm. and did it well, and put on programs for other people when he was trying to get people to know about the place.
Right.
So he did the traveling with the kids. I didn't do any of that. And otherwise, there wasn't a whole lot in during the week because they were in school all the time.
Uh-huh.
And then Monday, Wednesday. Wednesday, I'll say, freshmen would come and we'd have a music class teaching them folk songs. And then on Thursday night, the seniors would have come in and he'd teach them for an hour, about like usual for a class. Then on Friday nights, all of them had a party.
Hmm.
And they'd come to the party and then they'd sang a lot, and then they danced with who they wanted to, and you know, when they wanted to. It was
mm-hmm.
It wasn't planned like the other nights. So those evening activities together with homework kept them busy.
Mm-hmm. I'd say so. I'm gonna move your microphone up just a tiny bit. Make sure I get to all your voice. Oh, it's fine. Okay. So then on those Sunday nights, did you call it Christian Endeavor? Is what you did?
I asked them. For the life of me, I can't think now what they call themselves. But I said shortly after I got here, would you like to be called a Christian Endeavor? They had in all the churches, that was what they called it mostly in mm-hmm. Protestant churches. No, they didn't want that. They just liked it like it was. But I call it that when I tell
right.
you what I did.
Yeah.
Because it gives you
yeah.
a better picture.
And what were things that y'all did during that, on those nights?
Well, there was always a worshipful part, and we sang hymns, and then sometimes they'd and read scriptures, and then, well, I think we did a little bit of visiting. It wasn't like a party, really. It was more like a little service that you would go to. I don't know whether they still call them that. Did they have your Methodist church here? What do they call that group that meets on Sunday night?
Like a youth group.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they just call it youth group.
You just call it youth group.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess that's probably what we called it too. But anyway, they didn't want to be Christian Endeavor. Maybe that sounded like work.
Yeah, too formal.
And they were good. They never gave me any trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they had Mr. Earp standing over them. He was a disciplinarian.
Now, what year was that when you all first came here?
Well, I wanted
Or about what year?
I would say it was about 1945.
When you first came here?
Mm-hmm.
1945. Okay.
And Mr. Earp passed away in 1959.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed on until just 12 years ago.
Right.
And I've been gone now for 12 years.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about those.
About those years?
Those years when you all were here and working, and you were... Because this is getting us a different perspective. You know, I've talked to a lot of people that were students here, but you and your husband were so important because you worked here and you know, helped keep the place going. What are some of your memories or things that you remember about the campus being here? Things that stick out in your mind, maybe?
Well, there's been many, many changes.
Right.
When we first came, the public grade school was down there where the library building is. And where the, not the library, but yes, it's the library on the back side. And that I think it was three stories high, and it was old-looking structure. Mm-hmm. And I can remember this rows of children coming out of there, and we, of course, you see, we came down here in the car. Remember?
Oh, that's right.
Well, they had a big barn down there. There's no, it's where the Ball Diamond is now. And that upstairs, I think the boys did some woodworking up there. And down below was a space where we could pull our trailer in under shelter. Mm-hmm. And so we parked that when we first came there. And it happened that Mr. McLean had an assistant director that was leaving right at that particular time. It seems kind of like it was planned, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
This young man wanted to go someplace else, and that was a more of an important job than just helping Mr. McLean here. And so this little place was occupied by the McLeans, and that was Raymond's. Are you acquainted with
uh-huh.
the McLean family?
Uh-huh.
That was little Raymond's room, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth was in a high chair. I can remember Ruth tapping on her little plate, you know, when she was sitting in the dining room, they put her in a high chair.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Alice wasn't here yet, nor the little boy. When we first came, it was just the two children. And so the assistant director lived in this, Mr. McLean made it possible with Miss Watts. You know who Miss Watts was?
Right.
She was here for many, many years.
Uh-huh.
Well, she had her quarters up in Hillside.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Hillside at
no,
all?
No, no.
Well, it was a big three-story building up over where her grave is now. I sat in front on the porch over there the other day and tried to picture just where that was. It doesn't look like there could have been a building like that.
Right, I know it doesn't at all.
And upstairs were the director and his family had nice quarters. And down on the lower level was where they had the offices.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then what happened to that one was one night in the, they had a fire on New Year's Eve.
Were you here then?
Uh-huh. No, we had gone back down to Florida for the Christmas holiday. We weren't here when it happened.
Yeah.
But we lived here.
Right.
We had just gone down for a short time. And so they couldn't, they had to do something different, and they moved the family down into personnel office.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived there for a while, and they never rebuilt Hillside after that.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a very important building. I think that's probably where Miss Watts spent most of her life there. And underneath, they had the offices in the first floor, and then always their director was up above. So that building is now gone. Then the grade school building, I told you, was over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember the children coming out. After the county got hold of a public education arrangement, they built a nice grade school down where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they've enlarged that since, I expect, since you've been here.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, that was changed. That was a grade school. Let's see. Then we also had what we call the fireside industries. and it was a little building across the playing field where they did all the weaving.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the looms were down on the first floor, and then there was a big hall-like place up above, and they would have Saturday sales for clothing.
Mm.
Not every Saturday, but maybe once a month. People would send clothing in here all the time. See, in those days, the churches were all interested in getting people in the mountains helped.
Yeah.
And they'd send secondhand, good used clothing, and they'd have their, I can, Miss Church used to have to go take 10 of those clothing over there. So now that building's gone. And now let's see, what else? The main building was called Fireside, it seems to me like. I'm going to call it the Maystone Building. Maybe that's what they did call it. That also was a three-story building. And the lower floor, the front part of it was a lounge or a living room.
Mm-hmm.
And back of it was the dining room where everybody came to eat. And the kitchen was in the basement.
Huh.
And the girls used to run up and down the stairs bringing the hot food. I can see them yet. And we sat at long tables, just like, they're not as quite as long nowadays. They're a little shorter. And the girls would help with the serving of the meals and doing the dishes, but that was down in the basement. Then the top floor was all dormitory.
Oh, okay.
So there were that was called the Maystone. Then there was a dormitory up here.
Mm-hmm.
That was called Eastover, boys' dorm. And where they got the over is the road made a circle. Came in like we do, and it made a circle around like that with grass in between here. And as it came around, this was the east side, so they called that east over the circle, so it starts.
Oh, okay.
And the main building was here, so this was Eastover for all the boys. Then there was the hospital, which is the hospital,
mm-hmm.
still is.
The Stecky building.
Uh-huh. And then there was Westover, and that was a girls' dorm. And of course, Westover's been gone quite a little while now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was four dorms. I was thinking about the hospital. I don't think there were any students stayed in the hospital at that time unless they weren't well.
Mm-hmm.
And if they weren't, well, then they went up there, and we had a trained nurse that lived all the time with us, and she took on anybody that was sick and took them up to the hospital. We always called that building a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Or even the if any of the staff needed special attention, they might have had her up there. But she reigned supreme in the hospital building. She was a great, great girl. Let me see if I can tell you any other ones that have disappeared. Well, the main building itself at that time was, you know where the round flower bed is?
Mm-hmm.
That was the well. Where they pumped the water for the building, and it was built sort of over it. It was over the back part.
Mm-hmm.
And I described that to you, that there was the three floors.
Right.
Uh-huh. So that's gone. That main building. We were here when they built that. And the paneling in our present, there's a special name for that type of paneling. Were all boards taken out of the old building.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. So that's part of the old building
that's kind of neat.
They kept that. Uh-huh. Made a pretty side there.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, Westover was torn down when they built the Human Services Center. And then we didn't have the pool, of course.
Yeah. So I guess campus looked quite different back then, didn't it?
Yeah, so now you can see it's almost like it's all new.
Yeah.
The buildings are kind of, well, no. The oldest building is the office.
Mm-hmm.
And when they had that fire up there, where the big hillside building was, the McLean family had to move down into the office building. And we had, those of us that did office work, had to be moved down to the little cabin.
So you worked down there?
I worked down there for a long time. But I started up in that, the higher one,
mm-hmm.
until they had to move the McLean family down.
So what sort of things were lost in that fire? I mean, since that's where the office was. I guess there were records and things in there. And
well, that was, of course, that was up in the hillside building.
Yeah.
I expect they did lose. I don't remember. I couldn't tell you what else what they lost. But they have some, a lot of the writings of the older people that they still use. And otherwise, I don't know what happened to the office, excepting that the secretary was where Doris is now.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the east end, and the secretary was on the west end. She had her office there, I had my office here. And then in that front part was a guest room.
Oh.
People could come and stay and sleep up in the loft, they called it.
Mm-hmm.
They had a nice little bedroom up there. In fact, the fellow that comes here all the time, yet, every once in a while, especially during Folk Week, and lives out that direction.
I'm trying to think.
Uh-huh. He's gray-haired, and that's where he used to live, in there.
Hmm.
And he lived in there when he was supposed to be writing a history of the school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how long he lived there, but he never did write it.
He must have liked it there.
Oh, dear. Honey, he comes, he's always here during Folk Week, and then sometimes he comes in between. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right.
It'll come to me tomorrow,
okay.
And then I'll tell you.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's just fine.
But yeah, I know that was his little cabin where he slept up in there for so long when he was supposed to be writing the history. And I'm not sure now. Is it still available for somebody to sleep?
Uh-uh, no.
Well, they had a little bathroom on the first floor.
Yeah.
That made it possible. And he lives out that way, out in town, out in the hill out there.
Well, we'll think of it.
Yeah, and he'd be a good one for you to interview.
Yeah, I should get to
talk to him. More about it than I would, and maybe remember it better.
Well, I think you're doing a good job, Miss Herb. I think this is all just interesting stuff to hear about. Because you were here during a different time, and mm-hmm. and the campus and the people were so much different then. Let's talk a little bit about that, maybe, like your duties after your husband passed away. And of course, he was he was assistant director mm-hmm. for about how many years was that? He was assistant director for
10
years.
Mm-hmm. And
then when he passed away, you took over the job as mm-hmm. bookkeeper.
They came to me and they said, "Now we don't want you to leave."
Right.
And if you'll stay, we'll teach you the bookkeeping.
So what was that like?
That was it happened that math was one of my easy
right,
subjects.
Yeah.
And so that was fine, as long as it wasn't geometry. And so I did that like Rebecca does now.
Uh-huh.
And then when Rebecca came, at that time, she was, I was thinking, I think, about going to California to be close to my sister, retiring. And she came at the right time for her and Michael, they lived over in the pool house.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And she took over my job. So I had to teach her the bookkeeping here.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like being the bookkeeper? Was that a pretty busy job or for you to do?
Well,
or?
No, because it wasn't extensive enough that I needed to spend the whole day.
Okay.
I was always there in the mornings.
Uh-huh.
And then I could do housekeeping or whatever I needed to do here.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of neat.
And this little place has lasted very well. It was in the first place, there's no foundation under it, you know.
Yeah.
It's hillside.
Mm-hmm.
You go down, they had to board in that part down there, and then you can walk in down there. Have you ever been in down there?
No.
And you can have things stored down there.
Uh-huh.
And
a little bit. You've been here for, I guess, three directors now? Is that right?
We came under Mr. McLean.
Uh-huh.
And then came Lionel Duff.
And then my dad.
Then your dad.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's talk about maybe changes just in that you've seen from when you first came here under Mr. McLean until the present. Things, the changes in the, not necessarily maybe buildings, but also the way the school has been run and programs and things, maybe differences that you've seen.
Well, they started the Folk Week back in the, I think, McLean, no, maybe that was in Lionel Duff's day, but it was here quite a while before your dad came.
Uh-huh.
For the Folk Week.
Uh-huh.
Arrangement. And tell me if I repeat.
Okay, that's fine.
The program we had for the children back in those days, through the year, they carried on that musical business, and they called it the preserving of their heritage. You see, you remember that sign that was up out here?
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's there anymore. It said, Hyndman Settlement School erected that the children might retain their heritage.
Oh, that's right. Be more mindful of their heritage.
That's expression.
Yeah.
Be more mindful of their heritage. And I think their heritage here was largely English, because the little folk song books that we had,
mm-hmm.
that were all folk songs from England, maybe some from Scotland, Ireland, among the English people, at least.
Yeah.
Instead of there were a lot of people came over to the United States from Italy that went into the mines. But this area in here was nearly all English, and just like they are now. They're great people, I think. And so that, you want to see one of those little books or not?
Yeah, I want to see one in just a minute. Well, after we finish this up, I'd like to look at some of that stuff. That'd be neat.
So how we were mindful of their heritage.
Yeah.
My parents were Germans from uh-huh. Germany, and Scotch from Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a combination of heritage there.
Yeah.
And so that was easy for me to do.
Well, what were some other changes maybe that, or I'm sorry, did I interrupt you?
The a lot of this furniture that we have here, was made here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. See that desk?
Uh-huh.
The chair, of course, they still make, don't they?
I don't think
during
so.
Folk Week?
Oh, yeah, they make them during Folk Week.
Yeah. Well, that they had a chair. They call it the chair factory, and that's what one of the things the boys did when they lived here.
Mm-hmm.
And then that desk is made here. This was one of our first pieces of furniture when we were married, 1930. And of course, I put a little summer's apron on it.
Yeah,
that's not the right word. And that one, see, that was made here. That
okay.
big fella.
Uh-huh.
And the little footstool with the
wow.
hand-woven cloth on it.
Uh-huh.
Those were made here. The little rocking chair was made here.
Hmm.
The little.
Gosh, you do have a lot of stuff that was made here.
The lamp table there was ours. This big dresser in here was made here.
Hmm.
I'm not so sure whether that one in there was.
Uh-huh.
And the dinette set is cherry, and we brought that. But the cabinet with the glass doors was made here.
So they really knew, I mean.
They did a lot of furniture making.
Yeah.
Not factory style, but craft shop stuff.
Tell me about the weaving. How much of that was done?
Well, the girl, that was one of the girls, one of the things they taught the girls. And that building was over there, the one that had a big top room where we could have the clothing sale.
Uh-huh.
And I think right now the only thing they plant over there is a little garden.
Yeah, it is. It is.
See, all you have left is the chimneys.
I know.
Standing there by themselves. Uh-huh. So that building was used for that handwork.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, they along with the ladies in the community, were nearly all women in those days, in addition to their homework, keeping house, mm-hmm. cooking and so on, spent their days making things, you know, crocheting or knitting or embroidering,
mm-hmm.
and decorating their homes. Nowadays, no women hardly ever do any of those things.
I know.
But they go to craft places to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. I'll tell you what, I've seen a lot of change. And some of it hasn't been for the better, I don't think. So they're having troubles with getting adjusted in many ways, I think, yet.
Well, maybe what have been some of the...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe what have been some of the changes that you haven't really, really liked over the years, you know, here?
Here? Well, I don't know that they're mostly here. The things that I hear are the school system. Having
okay.
been a school teacher,
right.
I hear the criticisms that come out in the papers. And I have read someplace where so many of the kids can't read when they get up to a certain grade.
Yeah.
Well, that was unknown when I was teaching. That's all they spent their time doing was they had a recess and they played hard on the recess and then they did reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Yeah.
And they learned those things, and they got better all the time with them. But now the only thing I can think of is that they've got set the physical ed program has taken up a big lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much time they watch TV. That I don't know, because I've been out of the schools long enough to know that I've not known any of that.
Uh-huh.
But at any rate, they do things where they don't actually learn like they did before.
Right.
Their time's occupied, but they don't seem to come out with having the mm-hmm. skills they need.
Well, what do you think how do you think... Oh, gosh, I can't even talk today. How good do you think the education was for the students that were here when you were here in the early years?
Well, I thought very good.
Uh-huh.
And because it seemed there wasn't any difference from in here, then it was where I was, accepting that the children had to be brought in,
mm-hmm.
because I lived in a county seat town where our right. schools were full of students from the same locality,
uh-huh.
and here they had to even live in a different spot. You know, they came here to live to be taught.
Right. Well, here's something I was thinking of, just jumping around a little bit when we were talking about the crafts before.
Mm-hmm.
Were you around much basket making
no.
and things? Did
no.
they do that much around here, or mostly just weaving?
It was more, I think the one that took the most time and was the most profitable for everybody was the weaving.
Mm-hmm.
Because they used to weave quilts. I know they made quilts without, they're not
right.
all woven.
Yeah.
But I have, my bedspreads that I have out there in California were woven here. They were wonderful bedspreads. And they never will wear out, I don't think.
Yeah.
And I took them out there with me.
Well, Miss Arpit, we were taught. You said earlier that after your husband passed away, you just stayed here,
mm-hmm.
and until 12 years ago, and now you commute back and forth and spend the summers with us. But
mm-hmm.
what made you? I mean, what made you want to stay in this place so much? I mean,
why did I like it?
Yeah.
Well, for one thing, of course, this is a sort of an in-between area between real cold and real hot. I can remember it being 20 below zero here, but for never more than 3 days,
mm-hmm.
and maybe once a winter. And then the snow would melt, and it would get warmer. So it's kind of a halfway place for weather.
Mm-hmm.
You have some winter, but it's not like in Illinois when we... I can remember 20 below zero on May Day. It wasn't that cold all the time, but it,
yeah.
you know, it, I do remember that. And then the people is what draws me, I think, more than anything else, because they're cordial, they're friendly, and they're honest, and they're not trying. Everybody isn't trying to do the other fellow out by getting mm-hmm. some, you know, making as much money as they can. The little Methodist church down there is full of just real honest, good working people, and kind, friendly, and I enjoy them so much. Now, there was what happened, I think, to a lot of the people, I blame on the United Mine Workers. They were these early coal barons, they called them. They could get foreign laborers cheap, and they kept them cheap.
Yeah.
And they even had their own little stores. They mm-hmm. had to buy everything at their own little stores at their price, and they had money on made money off of them that way.
Right.
And so that the population in quite a few places didn't advance money-wise like mm-hmm. they would in other communities. That was too bad. Then when the mine workers finally decided that they would revolt,
mm-hmm.
and protest, and then they quit working, you
yeah.
know. That's the way they do. They'd have strike, you know. By strike, they wouldn't do anything.
Right.
Well, then of course that broke the back or whatever it was that kept them down. They had to raise salaries, so that they had to do that, but it went on beyond that stage. Until where they made the workers got independent, not independent, dependent upon the I don't know what this is, tax system. I can't I shouldn't try to explain this completely. But anyway, they got the feeling that they didn't have to work.
Yeah.
And they'd be supported. Mm-hmm. See, and I remember one year when one of the first years or two that we were here, there was a great big boy that lived out here in the country. Big, strong fella. And my husband was talking with him one day, and he said, what do you plan to do now that when you get your high school done? Oh, he says, my folks they've got some land out there. He says, I'll have my own little cabin, and I'll just live there. And he says, what'll you do for food? Oh, he says, I'll get my commodities.
Well.
He wasn't planning to do anything. He was going to live off the government. And that's where they got the reputation. Now, that was a personal thing that happened to us, so we know that's what happened with some of the families.
Mm-hmm.
They lost their initiative.
Yeah.
They just felt, well, they couldn't do anything, or they didn't want it. You never knew which it was. They couldn't do anything worthwhile, so they just sat and expected the government to give them commodities,
mm-hmm.
give them food. And I know on check day, when the government checks would come in, the place would be full of cars downtown. Mm-hmm. Isn't that where you?
Mm-hmm.
Still that way.
Yeah.
And they go downtown and spend the money that the government's given them to live on. And that's too bad, because they the initiative and the feeling that they're worthwhile has been taken away from them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that's worked out. And we witnessed that. The first year we were here, they took a census. They do it every 10 years, you know. And the census people would tell Paul some of the people now were just living off the government. They didn't have any other plans. They didn't intend to.
Isn't that something?
But that's not in every place in the United States.
Right.
It just worked out that way, I think, because of the mind situation.
Yeah.
And how it is just now, I don't know, excepting I think there's the people who are still dissatisfied with the too many to keep people just living off of other people.
Yeah.
And they don't really need to.
Mm-hmm.